Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your host for today's show. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and our show is Business is Personal, What You Do and Why You Do It Matters. And joining me today on Women Leading the Way Radio is Michelle Berquist, the CEO and co-founder of Connected Women of Influence, of which I am a very proud member of. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm so happy that you joined us today. Thank you so much for being with us and being our guest. And I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that for almost 3 years, Michelle has been interviewing male CEOs and executives and asking them what they think women do that sabotage their success in business. And I think that it is such an interesting conversation. And Michelle, you are so good at this, and the fact that you've been doing this and that you've talked to countless male executives and getting their very candid and unfiltered feedback. One of the questions I have for you is, what has it been like for you interviewing men and what they think about how women sabotage their success in business?
It's a big topic, isn't it? I mean, sabotage, it's like, it's such a big word. But, you know, first of all, thanks. So, I mean, I love any chance I can to get on the radio, Shawn Marie. So, first of all, whoop, whoop, I'm excited to be here. the second thing, and what you asked, it's been, you know, honestly fascinating to interview men. But, you know, I've been sharing this with, you know, different colleagues and people for a couple of years, and I usually get one of two responses. Is people either think I'm bat house crazy and will go, what are you thinking of to do this? You know what I mean? To interview men. And then the other one is, wow, that's really an interesting concept, because in interviewing these men, you know, as I approach them, which was getting back to your original question, you know, some of them, interestingly enough, were very open, you know, to saying, gosh, I this is great. I'm humbled. Yes, I'd love to give my opinion. And, you know, at first, I always thought when I approached them, some of them would be, you know, kind of catty, or, you know, their responses wouldn't be authentic. But I have been absolutely blown away and amazed at just some of the different responses and the, you know, integrity that a lot of these men have given me to share with women, you know, what we can do differently in business, which is the whole goal. I mean, how do we move the needle? My gosh, if you really want to understand how to do better in business, and again, this comes with controversy, but asking men what they think we should do as women when they're still in the percentage share of boardroom seats and they're the ones leading organizations and companies, it's been a fascinating, fascinating experience.
No, I bet it has been. And, you know, the fact that what you just said, that, you know, they weren't catty, that they were, you know, very honest and in many instances actually kind of humbled that you would want to know this, I think, and, you know, and further, that women want to know. And I think it can be controversial, especially, I don't know if you watched the Academy Awards last night, but when Patricia Arquette won, and she was talking about equality with women's wages, and, you know, and you and I have had this conversation, and I certainly think that there is an enormous amount that I think we can learn from the feedback that men have, if we can kind of get the, you know, get the feelings out of the way and just really listen to their advice, which I think in a lot of instances can be, you know, pretty sage, and I think that we can learn a lot from that. And I certainly, you know, I think I mentioned when I was introducing you that you've interviewed hundreds of men, but I mean, I'd certainly love to know, like, how many men have you talked to, and who were they, or what did they do, or what, you know, was it from a particular profession or vertical, or has it been a pretty vast, you know, a vast range of men that you've talked to?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great question, because, I mean, the total at this point is just a little bit over 500 men. I mean, I think the total is 506 at this point. Yeah, and that includes, you know, men that I've also interviewed from some of our man panels. You know, we in TWI, as you know, once a year, we've kind of gotten on the radar with having an annual man panel where we've asked the same questions, which a few years ago was where I got the idea. But, you know, as far as diversity goes and types of men and things like that, you know, I first started with my network. I mean, who I knew as men owners of companies, men CEOs, men executives, you know, it was all in business and industry, if I can say that, and very similar to the target market we have in CWI. So it was a lot of, and I tried to make it very, a variety of them, that I would reach out to, let's say, executives that were in commercial banking or insurance CEOs and executives, men running companies that were both from a company standpoint, that maybe they were in the event industry, or they were CPAs or attorneys. I mean, my gosh, so many different law firms. So I really tried to make it diverse. I didn't want to interview all of the same type of industry. And in addition to that, of course, I was looking for Fortune 500 CEOs. A lot of them were based in Southern California, so that, you know, definitely maybe a different temperament, but my book is, you know, centered on businesses that are in California. And from that, you know, what was amazing, some of these men wanted to be under the auspices of an alias, which I kind of laughed at, and I gave them that choice because they're like, I don't want to have my name out there. And I said, look, you know, I will keep it absolutely, you know, under the cloak of secrecy. But I said, you know, one of the questions I asked every man was, I said, why did you agree to do this book? You know, I mean, is it a funny thing to you? Are you being serious, authentic? What was the reason? And what do you hope the takeaway is for women as they read this book? And that's the part that was absolutely shocking to me, was even though men really wanted to hide under an alias, which I am absolutely committed to protect, on the same token, from the interview, the reason that they told me why they agreed to do the interview and what they hoped women would get out of the book was what kind of left me with goosebumps. And that was, so many of the men said, the reason I've agreed to do this interview, not because I'm excited about the topic, but I'm excited about the idea that I have a child who's a woman, a female, or I have a granddaughter that's a female, and I want to see them be able to do anything they want to do, whether it's in business or in the business world or whatever that is that they choose to, and I want them to have the same opportunities that, you know, a boy or a man would have. And that, to me, was just centered on the idea that, look, they were really coming from the right perspective, as opposed to just giving me snappy, fun, you know, maybe some answers that were a little repelling in some cases, because some of the comments were pretty harsh about what women need to do. And I have to say, you know, there are many women that are going to hear this message and go, I don't care what a man says. I don't want to hear what men tell me to do. I'm going to be who I am. And I completely understand that. And those were some of the conversations, but, you know, the biggest thing was for them was the reason they chose to do it is because they wanted to see their daughters and granddaughters be able to get ahead. And I thought that, man, you can't get any more authentic than that, was many, 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 many times the reason that they said they really wanted to share this message of what their insight was.
You know, and I love that, Michelle. And what is coming up for me a little bit is of over 500 men that you've interviewed, for this book, which I want to swing back around in a few minutes to the fact that that what we're actually talking about is a book that you're working on, which I'm super excited about. But of the 500 men, I'm sure that there must have been men that were, if not married and childless, could have even possibly been single. So in those instances, did you find that their answers were, you know, possibly even a little bit more candid or maybe a little bit more challenging to hear? Or what was their come from if they didn't, you know, if they weren't the atypical, you know, advocate and champion for women, what was their space, or what kind of place were they in when they were saying, well, hey, this is my experience of how women sabotage their success? Did you see much of a difference?
It was a little different, you know, and it was more from, you know, again, the age factor, too. There were young men that were in their 20s and 30s, and I have, you know, statistics of kind of the profile of the different men. There were quite a few 60 and over because they were in, you know, high-level executive and CEO positions. At the same time, you know, there were men that were, you know, working. You know, they were up and coming. Their career was on the rise. And whether they were in sales or business development or an executive level, you know, doing administration or finance or human resources or whatever their role was, mm-hmm. what I found fascinating is it really came down to a lion's share of about 8 things that men said women need to do differently. But back to your question where you were saying, was it different from the men? I don't have like a percentage and a distinction, but I do know the men that I have some sense when I can recall the interviews that didn't share specifically that they were looking, you know, at the reason because of their daughters or their granddaughters, you know, there were some men that said, my experience in interacting with women, and one predominant one, especially if they were young men that I'm trying to recall, were some of the interviews were based on, you know, how women acted, and excuse me for the term, but it's like, you know, the sexiness factor. And quite a few men did say, it's like, look, you know, don't make that your sales ploy. And as far as being sexy or, you know, the kind of come-ons in business and, you know, quite a few comments were, well, men like to look, but, you know, they're afraid of us and our actions. And for many reasons, one of them lawsuits, one of them what's the real agenda. You know, from their standpoint, I think across the board, you know, men, I don't want to say the word fear, but they're very cautious. You know, of women, when they don't feel there's an authentic kind of reason of what they're doing in business. So I don't want to say the word scared, but from the standpoint of do we concern them? Yes, we do, based on our actions, because I don't think it's consistent. You know, different women do different things, but across the board, men pretty much, you know, kept saying, you know, stick to business, you know, make it about being who you are, you know, don't try to be a man, don't act like a bitch, you know, forgive me for saying the word, but that was very common about men. And I said, you know, one of the things I asked them was, well, how do you feel about the idea that a woman, a strong woman who pushes back will be termed a bitch and a man, you know, will be seen as admirable or strong and powerful? Mm-hmm. And that was an interest, you know, again, those were different questions, but a lot of men thought it's the manner in which women will do this, you know, and I thought that's very true because, you know, for women and the different things that they shared, they were saying it's the how women do this, but still be a woman, still be your authentic self, but you can be definitive, you can be strong, you can be direct and to the point, but there is that tipping point and that fine kind of line over the fence that says now you're a bitch. And I think it's a tough thing because that, I don't know how we're going to get over. That was very common among men that just said, yep, there is a different answer and a different perception of how a strong woman comes across versus a strong man. And they had some suggestions on how we can overcome that. One of them was how we bring up our opinion. A lot of men did say women tend to hold things back and then unpack everything all at once, whereas men will kind of look at a singular situation and say, here's the issue, I'm not okay with this, and stick to that one piece, and women will bring in everything over the last 12 months or 5 years, you know, because that's what we do. And I think as a woman doing these interviews, I caught myself many times going, yep, we do that, yep, we do that. But same held true, and men would say, here's how we roll. And so that was kind of fascinating where they said, this is how we think. So I got kind of a sense of that, and it was just kind of interesting in some of the things they shared.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Michelle, I think one of the things that I'm really excited about you coming out with this book is that I think it's going to open up a bigger conversation, and I don't think everybody is going to agree, which I think makes for healthy conversation, is to have, you know, different opinions and feedback. And I think you and I both have experienced that there is a huge gap between the way that men behave and the way women behave, and like you were just saying, you know, the men expressing to you their experience of these women, and it's the same exact thing that men don't get called out for. So I feel like part of what, you know, in my personal opinion, that your book is going to really help facilitate is a deeper conversation and is actually letting women know what men think, and I think quite possibly even help them engage with men. And I think, too, a lot of these conversations also stem from leadership. You know, like you're saying that these men have talked about how women unpack everything all at once because they've kind of been, you know, suppressing what it is that they've wanted to share. But I think a lot of times that agenda or that relationship or how that communication happens is really set up at a higher level, and I think that those things can get unpacked earlier on. And I'm so excited about, you know, about your book, because I think that it's really going to help to ignite some deeper and I think much needed conversations. And I agree with you. I think it is going to be somewhat controversial, only in the sense that I think a lot of women are a little reluctant or feel like, you know, that pendulum is kind of swung the other way, and it's like, we don't care what men think, but I do think, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, Michelle, is that my experience is that men are still the ones who are unafraid to go and ask for more money. They are unafraid to say, yeah, I'm qualified for that, even if they know that they're 70% qualified. I just, my experience with men is that they're just more, they're more ballsy. You know, and I don't think it's a matter of courage. I think it's like a matter of guts and risk taking. And I'm wondering if any of the men that you interviewed, did they speak to that component of this, of maybe being a little less cerebral, like in just going for it and having kind of this, I mean, I hate to use the term because it sounds more masculine, but using kind of this warrior mentality and going after what they want, where maybe women tend to be a little bit more reserved or they think about it more, consider it more. Was that part of the conversation with any of these men that you interviewed?
It was. I mean, I know you brought up a couple of things. And, you know, what's interesting is the kind of parallel when I looked at what the answers were of what men said and kind of overlapped them and said, okay, are there commonalities? It kind of came down to eight, you know, big areas, right, of what women can do to better their best in business. Now, again, I agree. It's like it can be polarizing. I love the term spirited conversation.
Mm-hmm,
there
mm-hmm.
are some women that are going to absolutely disagree with this, and I get it. You know, I mean, I'm a strong woman, you're strong women. Those are most of our members in CWI, and some of them are going to look at this and go, you know what, I'm not going to do what a man says. However, that said, I think, and I had a very, very wonderful male mentor when I was in commercial banking who gave me, he called it the rule of five. I'm expanding it for the book to call it the rule of eight, because so many men on that kind of ask, you know, men have, I mean, again, I'm being very general. Not every man can ask, right? But I think men through culture and upbringing, it's like it's just, you know, kind of part of their DNA. Women, it's not. You know, we're meant to, when people say that women collaborate, I almost look at that sometimes as a bad thing, because they may collaborate, but they don't ask for what they really want. And so then they get disappointed, and it's like, you know, they feel like they've been slighted. And I'm making big generalizations, but one of the top things men did say is we don't ask. You know, women do not ask for what they want. They don't ask
mm-hmm.
specifically for what they need. They won't be very direct because they get around to the point and you're like, God, can you shorten it up and get to your point? You know, I mean, because in their minds, and again, it comes down to communication. It comes down to, you know, there is finessing, right? There's politics in every business, and men treat it so much like a game, and women look at it as, you know, I should be recognized for good work. And again, these are big generalizations because there's so many women that don't do that or they do it differently. But this was their perspective. And, you know, in my box, I look at it and go, if that's how they see it, and these are men at executive and CEO level and professional levels, you know, you can either heed the advice and kind of look at it and go, maybe there's some things you can do to change up and modify how you behave in the workplace or in business, Or, you know, you can say, you know what, I'm gonna listen to this, but you're gonna keep doing what you've always done, which is absolutely your prerogative. I think what I'm hoping the takeaway will be from the book is that women will see from a man's perspective. I love the idea that as a woman in business, if I want to persuade and I'm looking to influence, wouldn't it make sense for me to modify my behavior to get different results? And if how I interact and how I communicate and how I behave, you know, in the business world that can get me better results, why wouldn't I want to take some of this advice and do it? That's the part that leaves me, I can't imagine because anybody wouldn't go, you know what? May not agree with everything, but it is from the man's perspective. And if we listen to that and think about tweaking our own behavior to get better results, it's a good thing.
No, I hear you completely, Michelle. I really do. And I think that the idea of taking a look at what's working and what isn't working is absolutely hands down and essential. And I think, too, maybe, you know, the deepening conversation of that is that, you know, is or the opportunity really is for women who know that something isn't working for them. You know, and you were talking earlier about, you know, certain things that men have talked about, maybe, you know, over-sexualizing or, you know, utilizing things that they think may be their only assets. And maybe what this will also help support is, you know, women asking, what more do I have to bring to the table? And I know that said, that's definitely kind of a hot button for me, you know, having men say, you know, well, women don't need to, like, they can, you know, kind of tone down the sex appeal thing or what have you. And that definitely raises my blood pressure a little bit just because I think, you know, and one of the things I love, Michelle, is that the organization that you've co-founded, Connected Women of Influence, it's like we, you know, we are all influencers. And I think that it's, which, you know, is really a hot topic for me, is authenticity. You know, so one of the things I certainly wouldn't want somebody to do is, you know, to feel like they need to tone down who they really are. But I think at the same time, I think that your book is really going to bring about an opportunity to have a deeper conversation and maybe, you know, round out some of these questions. And Caroline Mankey, who was an earlier guest that we had actually in 2014, she is an attorney and a partner at Cypress LLP, and she talked about that. And she actually had a conversation with, I think it was Helen Gurley Brown, and about women and sex appeal in business. And so I think that there is, I think that you are just at the tip of the iceberg, Michelle, of what could potentially be, I think, a really, really interesting, comprehensive body of work for you. So I hope with all of my heart that this is just the beginning of you having these kinds of conversations, because I think that they need to be had. And I think the more honest and uncovered and exposed we can be about how we really feel about this is I think where we really get to. I think what your goal is, which is really helping women, you know, lead with their very best self and taking a look in a really honest way at what's working and what's not working. And one of the things I wanted to do, Michelle, for our listeners, as I said earlier, I am a proud member of Connected Women of Influence, and I am very selective about the groups that I join and participate in. And I would, if anybody wants to get more information, Michelle, about your upcoming book, or if they want more information on CWI or membership or that type of thing, would you mind letting them know the best way to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Thank you, Sharmarie. Yep, you can either go to our website, which our website is connectedwomenofinfluence.com, and so there's a contact us form, or you can email me, which is Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at connectedwomenofinfluence.com, and the book will be out in just a couple months, but anybody has an opinion or a question on what, you know, they think about interviewing men and asking them what they think women do that sabotage their success, boy, I'm just excited about the potential dialogue and the spirited conversation. So thanks, Shawn Marie.
No, of course it is. It's so my pleasure, and I'm really excited to be part of this conversation and see what it unearths. And I think that no matter what, it's I think that women having more of these conversations, whether they, you know, completely agree or disagree, I think having these spirited discussions is really helpful because, as you and I both talked about earlier, women tend to not ask for what it is that they need. So I think if this starts to shake things up and really gets them to start asking questions of themselves, I think that's incredible. And we have about 4 minutes left, Michelle, but I wanted to ask you, if you could sum it up in one goal, what are you hoping that this book accomplishes for the women and possibly even the men who you hope to read this? Like, what's your biggest desire with this book?
No, I love that. Thank you, because that's a great question. I mean, my hope is for women, whether they agree with the, you know, suggestions and the tips and the advice or not, is that I hope, because I just see this so much with the women in our association and women in general in business, that, you know, it's kind of that big question mark of what should I do, how should I behave, how should I act, you know, navigating, you know, the road in business. And if it can change or empower women, you know, that are kind of questioning what should I, how should I behave, you know, how should I act, what can I do differently, I hope it, you know, helps address that question. For men, I think just showcasing what they think authentically, you know, and very diligently, that it wasn't smarmy. It's not meant to be humorous. It's not meant to be a slight on women. It really came from their perspective, because I do think men are pretty concerned, you know, and worried is a wrong word. I can't think of the right word, but men are, you know, they are wondering how to navigate as well, because women are in more powerful positions. Women are wanting to excel in the business world. And I think they're kind of lost too. I mean, you look at culture and generations and what has transpired, it's hard to change that needle. So if men, you know, can, not that they're going to understand us any better, but this is one perspective. You know, the other part is let's interview women, and maybe if we could get men to hear more of where we're coming from as business women, I think, you know, to start to see that that's going to change in business where women can get ahead more effectively, then the book has done its job. So that would be my hope for the book.
Well, fantastic, Michelle. And I am definitely wishing that for you as well. And I know personally I can't wait for it to come out and go to your book signing party and be part of not only celebrating your accomplishment, but really being part of this deepening and really important conversation. So I just want to thank you again, Michelle, so much for being my guest today. I've loved having you, and it just means the world to me, and I'm so proud to be part of Connecting Women of Influence. So so thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was a joy. Yeah. Anytime, Shawn Marie.
Well, I will definitely have you back. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in today, and without you, we wouldn't have a show to speak of. So we're super grateful for your support, and we love having you here. And I just want to let you know that Women Leading the Way Radio is back every Monday. And next Monday, our leading lady will be Liz Goodgold with Red Fire Branding. And the topic is going to be how to speak gooder, sneaky ways women can boost their brand and biz with their voices. So please tune in next Monday, and every Monday for that matter, at 9 a.m. And thank you again so much, Michelle, and thanks to our listeners. And I will be back the fourth Monday of every month. And until then, I am wishing you a career and business that you love and a life that you're passionate about. And just remember that what you do and why you do it matters, because business is personal.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships.
For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.